Warwick, thank you very much. Now we're going to turn to the United States, and the Trump administration has threatened to ban Harvard University from enrolling foreign students. Now, yesterday, Harvard refused to bow to demands that it change its curriculum and hiring practices to help it fight anti-Semitism. The White House has frozen $2 billion in funding for Harvard, and it's reported this morning that the IRS is considering whether to revoke its tax exemption status. Meanwhile, too, a federal judge says he'll hold the Trump administration in contempt for defying orders to halt deportations to a prison in El Salvador. Let's talk about both these developments now with Scott Lucas, Professor of American Studies and International Politics at University College Dublin. Professor Lucas, good morning.
Good morning.
This ruling from this federal judge, Judge Boasberg, how significant is this ruling, do you think?
Well, I think this is very, very significant because it could draw a line against the Trump administration's effective attempt to override, disregard judicial authority, something that some might see as authoritarian, by saying, no, you cannot simply disappear people. And in this case, 238 Venezuelans who were sent to an El Salvador prison in mid-March. You have to abide by the law when the courts say that these people have to have due process, they have to have a hearing, and you have to bring them back. And there is a second case, which is perhaps better known, however, which is the case of Kilmer Abrego Garcia, the El Salvador national, who was effectively disappeared from his home in Maryland. Now, he is a legal migrant. Now, that case is before a judge who now says, look, the administration has 2 weeks to produce evidence that it is complying with a court order to bring him back, or else they will be in contempt of court. So I think we're getting close to what might be a key point, a key moment in what is not just a specific case about the rights of migrants, legal migrants, and indeed possibly U.S. citizens, given Donald Trump's threat to send them to El Salvador, but actually a question of, does the U.S. system of checks and balances between the courts and the executive still hold?
But how do you see this playing out? Because the White House is fighting back and will fight back and fight tough. And, you know, it's already talking about appeals, and there'll be appeals on appeals and ultimately, I'm sure, to the U.S. Supreme Court. So will anything move quickly on this, and certainly the plight of people in that El Salvador prison?
Well, as I said, the starting point here is you have to recognize, and I've only said it this week, but we are now at the point where the U.S. has an authoritarian government. And what that means is that the Trump administration will, it's not just a question of trying to spin out the legal process, they'll actually deny it. In the case that we talked about with Judge Boasberg and the 238 Venezuelans, he is saying to the Trump people, look, you now have to start the process to bring them back. If you do not, I will ask you to name the officials who are responsible for the deportations, and they will be liable to criminal contempt of court. Now, I suspect the Trump administration will refuse to do that. I suspect they'll refuse to take any steps to begin the deportations, let alone name those officials. In the case of Mr. Garcia, I think we've got something that we can watch very carefully here, which is that the Trump administration is not just defying the courts. They are blatantly lying about Mr. Garcia. Mm-hmm. So only yesterday, the press secretary said that he is an illegal immigrant. Mm-hmm. He is not. He has legal protected status in 2019. So how much longer does the White House try to deny the reality, including, and I must emphasize, remember, the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 unanimously that the administration must facilitate Mr. Garcia's return. How long do they defy the Supreme Court, and can they get away with it? Mm.
Let's talk too about education, and I wonder, will others go now where Harvard is giving a lead and refuse to bow to demands from the administration? Or is Harvard in a very special position because of its status, because it has people, I suppose people even like Larry Summers, in its corner, and it has very deep pockets?
Well, first, I think we have to emphasize that the Trump administration is serious about just gutting Harvard. In a meeting on April 1st, Donald Trump said to his officials, why don't we just remove all federal funding, which is around about $9 billion. To Harvard. It's beyond the 2.2, which has been frozen. And what you've seen is that the officials didn't say, well, wait, that you can't do that. Harvard's a nonprofit university, they've gone along with this. Now, there is a split amongst universities. Columbia University was punished with $400 million of federal funding, which was stripped. They immediately began negotiations with the Trump administration where they may compromise. Harvard has refused to do so. And interestingly, other universities have supported Harvard, notably Stanford, which is perhaps the one of the best U.S. universities on the West Coast. Now, it is going to be important to see how many other universities, such as Yale, another Ivy League university, follow up and give formal support to Harvard. Because again, this isn't just a question of Harvard being attacked. This is an attempt by the Trump administration to take control of all universities, their curriculum, their faculty, their students, their admissions procedures.
Professor Scott Lucas, thank you for your time this morning.